So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to Rivulway. Now that we have the real championship belt, it needs to be awarded to true champions. And after what I've seen tonight, they're right here. Skinny Man and Dead Meat.
Huh? Well done.
Review away time. John Pollock with Wei Ting and the man of the hour here joining us, the official review away Scooby-Doo correspondent, co-star of What's Next and What's Happening Right Now, is Braden Harrington, live at the review away studios.
Yes.
Woo! Yeah.
Wow, you got yes. an applause out of way.
Wow, that's great.
Okay.
How are you?
Make sure you talk close to the
oh,
microphone.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Rookie.
Oh, sorry.
I have to tell you this.
How are you guys?
We're doing great. Both of us had zero confidence in our navigating the knowledge of Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
So we knew we had to have you here.
See, I'm younger than you, and both of you say you're not Scooby-Doo fans.
You are so young. You were not even born when WrestleMania 6 took place.
Yeah, we've been over that. But Scooby-Doo came out in like 69, 70, 71, something like that. And it had a resurgence in the 90s when I was a kid.
I missed this resurgence. I was,
well, clearly,
I was watching wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. So I am a very big Scooby-Doo fan. And
how did you watch it? What resurgence are you talking about?
Cartoon Network or whatever, or Teletoon here in Canada. They just would replay it, and then it got a big reaction, so they started making new Scooby-Doo movies in like the late 1990s, which is still continuing to this day, which is including this one that we are reviewing.
Now, as a fan of this, when you first heard that here you are, someone, a huge wrestling fan and a huge Scooby-Doo fan, that they were coming together – were you concerned that this might just be a debacle of two worlds? And because I would imagine you would go into this with a much more critical look that, man, are they going to do this movie right? I would think your expectations are very high, where I think me and Wei went into this cold.
I kind of was like, oh, that's I thought it was kind of low for WWE's perspective. Like, I know they're PG and they've been that PG kitty kind of thing, but to finally do like a cartoon with like a talking dog, that's kind of like, I don't want to say hitting rock bottom, but it's hitting like that PG kind of thing. So I was a little skeptical. And then when the trailer came out, it looked a little bit better. At least you have like the voices and stuff like that. So I just kind of was like, oh, it should be okay. It's not going to be.
How did this whole thing even come about? Because this is part of like a number of films that they're doing with Hanna-Barbera, correct?
Well, this is, I mean, WWE Films, now WWE Studios. I mean, they've gone through so many different incarnations. It went from we're going to self-produce all of these movies were going to have theatrical releases. Then we were going to go straight to DVD. Now it seems like they partner up with a production company, or they'll find an already finished movie and just be executive producers on it. They've gone through so many different avenues. And when they came out with this idea to do a Scooby-Doo movie piggybacking on a very established franchise in the animated genre, I thought this was a great idea. I thought that there was a lot of interest here, that there would be a lot of crossover between whether it be older wrestling fans or even younger with Scooby-Doo, and that you might get people that are just strictly Scooby-Doo fans that have no clue about these WWE characters. I thought that this was a worthwhile risk to take with WWE Studios that has been more missed than hit since it started in 2006.
I don't think I've seen too many WWE movies. Like, I think I've seen parts of The Marine. I saw 12 Rounds at a drive-in theater because it was the second.
Did you go on a date to see 12 Rounds?
I just made it through, like, maybe two or three rounds, and we actually left because I didn't really like it. I like John Cena as an actor. I saw, like, half The Marine. I thought it was cool.
I saw The Marine at a WWE screening on a Friday morning at 9 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And my head was rattling by 11 a.m. when I walked out of that theater. No one should have to watch those amounts of explosions at 9 in the morning. Like, it was just the most ridiculous movie in terms of what it was set out to be. Just a absolute cliche action flick to push John Cena.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but for me, like, when I have no interest in seeing the acting ability of a professional wrestler. What I want to see, if you're going to, you know, make a pro wrestling movie, is the characters, like the pro wrestling character, maybe in a longer established, you know, storyline type of a thing. And I think that's why something like this to me works, because it's John Cena, the character, interacting with people. It's not John Cena trying to act like somebody else, like a
legendary.
Yeah. Trying to be like
the big show movie.
I did see a WWE movie. I saw the one with Triple H, The Chaperone.
The Chaperone.
My friend is a huge Triple H fan, so when this came out, he bought the Blu-ray. Oh, the Blu-ray combo pack, I believe.
Why?
And I don't know. And I watched it. I remember I was heavily intoxicated while watching it. And I remember coming out of it going, it wasn't as bad as I thought. It wasn't as bad as the commercials made it out to look, but it still wasn't a good movie. It was just straight to the DVD or whatever.
I feel like those things are, like, made so that people in the future can joke about them, just like No Holds Barred, you know, like a number of them.
But that's a lot of movies to make fun of.
It's a lot of money to spend.
Like, they've made a lot of movies.
I know.
And they've lost money on just about all of them.
Well, they have the ones that have done well.
Sino Evil, I think, made a slight profit. The Marine actually did
tremendously well.
Because of DVD sales afterwards, when DVDs were still a hot market for them.
As a wrestling fan, I remember when Marine was out in theaters, because it was like maybe not number one in the theaters, but it was up there. It was making a lot of money because a lot of people knew I was a wrestling fan, like friends and stuff like that, and family would be like, hey, I saw that movie last weekend with that wrestler guy, and it was really good. He reminded me of like Schwarzenegger, and I'm like, I didn't see it, but I mean, if other action normal moviegoers thought it was good, then it must have been okay.
And lately, the movies where they've just simply piggybacked on, there was The Call with Halle Berry.
Yeah, that was
did
a good
tremendously
one.
Well. And this new movie, Oculus, which has done pretty well since it's got out. And the WWE put in a low amount there, and that was pretty much no WWE involvement outside of their checkbook.
But, like, what's the deal? Because, like, there's no wrestlers in – like, there was – I remember my mom rented The Call, and I know Otunga was in it because literally as I'm in the kitchen and she was watching it, his scene was there. He's a cop or something like that. I don't know how long he's in the movie. I've seen him in the movie.
It must simply be them. They're basically investors, it sounds like, and then maybe one of their demands as investors is like, put one of our guys in it. Why David Otunga? I'm not sure.
Well, because he's a great actor.
Well, they're doing Scooby-Doo. They're going to do the Flintstones. Are you also a Flintstones fan?
No, not as big as I always thought. Scooby-Doo was a little bit more. I don't want to say believable, but like, you know,
appealing?
Yeah.
Learn a lot about hypnotism in this movie?
Oh no, not
and the dangers of video gaming.
I already knew the dangers of video
becoming
game.
A criminal as a with a gateway of a video game.
That there is a lot of there's a lot of flaws in this movie too, but we have to remember it's a cartoon and it's not real.
Can you tell me a little about just like a typical Scooby-Doo episode?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's like wrestling. There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. There's always like the finish, but the finish is always
and it's always wrapped around a mystery.
Yeah, basically, in the original series,
I'm not kidding. I know nothing.
Okay. So in a normal Scooby-Doo episode, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? It was like the original series. It was basically this gang of kids, these teenagers, where they go around from like city to, or town to town to solve a mystery, or they just kind of end up somewhere and then they realize there's a mystery, such as this WWE one where they end up there, and then they meet a bunch of people. Who say, oh, you know, my business is doing this because there's some creepy thing going. There's a ghost that's haunting this house and I can't sell it or something along those lines. And then they try to get the clues into what's going on. And then they get scared and then they decide to set up a trap to get this person. And then they get it and it ends up being someone that you probably like as an adult watching Scooby-Doo, you can easily find out who the culprit is because they're not really ever really monsters. They're a dude in a mask, and then the famous.
Okay, well, I thought in this movie the reveal was awesome because it totally made sense, and I totally didn't see it coming.
You didn't see it coming?
I'm gonna flat out say I like this movie so much more than I thought.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this movie.
Well, Wade
nods his head. I don't know if he's agreeing or not. I don't think he liked it quite as much. I enjoyed this quite. If I was 8 years old, this would be like. The movie I would just watch over and over again as a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah, that's true.
If I love Scooby-Doo, I would have loved this thing.
I watched Scooby-Doo movies as a kid over and over. Like, that's what I did. So I agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of one of my bosses at a radio station I work for, he's a huge wrestling fan. And he has like a 2-year-old or something like that. He went out and bought this movie, I think on the Blu-ray DVD pack. And you get a little like John Cena action figure with it. And he said that he's already watched it like 4 or 5 times with his kid because, you know, kids like to just rewatch movies and he had no problem with it because it's wrestling.
Now tell us the characters. We have Scooby-Doo and Shaggy.
We have Scooby and Shaggy. Basically, they're like the two knuckleheads. Or some would say that that Shaggy is the stoner.
I think that's always been the charm of Scooby-Doo, has it not?
Yeah, that they've always been like they're psychedelic.
What are the Scooby snacks?
Exactly. Is it a metaphor? It's like How I Met Your Mother with the sandwiches. If you don't understand that,
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah. So people always assume that Scooby snacks were code for marijuana, and that you know all these gang people, the gang of kids are just stoners because this was like the late '60s, early '70s, where you know drugs were.
And do they? Okay. And then they just like get high and solve mysteries, or are they hallucinating?
Well, yeah, that's another good question. Are the mysteries like real? Because the villains aren't ever real. They're usually a guy in a mask. Like I can name off pop. There's also live action movies. Have you ever?
Yeah.
Heard of those?
Matthew Lillard,
who actually is the voice of Shaggy in this movie.
Oh,
since
okay.
He's been doing that for a few.
So
years
he's
now.
Actually played the real life character.
Yeah,
Shaggy.
Yeah. So there was Sarah Michelle Gellar was Daphne.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was no, Freddie.
Oh yeah, I remember the movie. I never saw it. Now I remember.
And
Velma, your favorite, right?
Yeah, yeah. I actually forget the name of the actress now. Yeah, yeah. From Freaks and Geeks and ER. But
the girl who was on the last season of Mad Men. Linda Cardelli?
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I just started Mad Men, actually.
Right.
So don't tell me anything.
I'm telling you a character that will appear on it. I'm not telling you some of the
Wait, so you're saying Velma's on Mad Men?
Huh?
Velma's going to be on Mad Men?
If it's the same woman that we're thinking of,
Is it the same person?
I don't watch Mad Men, so I don't know.
What season of Mad Men are you on?
I like one.
You're fucking late to the Like, it's not that great any longer. You're not in for a great Like, I started Breaking Bad knowing there's a great payoff throughout
great.
The season.
Oh, Mad Men. I'm not excited anymore.
Well. Tell me what you think by season 4. Anyway, so there we have. Those are the 5 characters, and I guess we could just go over pretty much the premise of this movie is that Shaggy and Scooby-Doo are playing their WWE video game where it then turns into Dance Dance Revolution where Scooby has to dance alongside Sin Cara's in-ring movement and wins a grand prize to go to WrestleMania – which is taking place inside of WWE City before they set out on their road trip.
Where is that?
WWE City?
Yeah.
It's a mile west of Parts Unknown.
Oh.
Right above Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Would have been a good idea, though. Just Parts Unknown.
Hey, I thought it was very cool for, like, a kid's show to have this kind of insulated world where the WWE exists. I thought that was very cool, creating this WWE city where all of these wrestlers live and they train and all of their events take place.
I could foresee this happening, though.
I could absolutely see them trying to turn Universal Studios into this with NXT and kick Impact out of there. You put your Hall of Fame there.
Wow.
You start off with a network. Next thing is a small city.
Mm-hmm. Now, many different ways we can discuss this particular movie. I, as usual, did my play-by-play of this movie.
I did that as well because... You
know. I have to say, for anyone wondering why they kept Sin Cara around and then flipped the character, this movie had to be it. Like, he was number two babyface to John Cena.
He was my favorite character in this movie.
This was the most over Sin Cara has ever been in the WWE was this movie. He was a major character here. The great, great, great grandson of Sin Cara Grande.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. He was first.
The bear ghost.
No. He didn't defeat the bear ghost. He defeated the bear. Creating a bear ghost.
The bear ghost.
See, that's a major plot.
Which wasn't a real bear, we would learn out later.
Well, no, you don't want to, don't spoil that yet.
Well, we're going to spoil this movie. We're going to talk
about
it.
Not yet. You got to work it.
Okay. Wei, first of all, your thoughts just about the setup, the characters that they chose here.
Wait, you've never watched Scooby-Doo either, both of you, before. Like, you got to know all the – because in this, it's a little different because half the movie is shared with the WWE wrestlers and some brand new characters that have never been in WWE or Scooby-Doo. But coming out of this, what Scooby-Doo character did you grasp onto mostly, like out of the gang?
Out of the gang.
It had to... Fred?
I was going
to
say John is Fred. John likes Fred.
Oh, you mean who
I would
did
think
I?
You would like Fred because he was the shooter. She was shooting photos.
No, man. Fred just seems sort of like the arrogant one.
No, not at all.
Maybe Wei would be Daphne.
What?
in the Scooby-Doo original, Daphne always got caught in like traps or would fall for...
She's
kidnapped
helpless,
or whatever.
She's helpless girl.
Damsel in distress.
Yeah. No, I like Velma, actually. Velma's cool.
What? You better watch it, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. She's your...
That's Brandon's woman.
Thing, eh?
Velma girl. Harrington.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a horrendous name that is. Velma Harrington.
Well, it's better than Velma Dinkley, which is her name.
Yeah. Velma Dinkley.
Yeah. What does she say? Jinkies?
Yes, Jinkies.
What does that mean?
It's like her catchphrase.
That's
same with
catchphrase.
Shaggy says zoinks.
I didn't understand that either. Yeah.
It's a catchphrase.
Yeah. What did I think of the premise? I just think children's programming is so great because it just gives you carte blanche to just come up with the craziest, laziest writing possible. And then it's like, oh, what do we put these guys? What would a logical place be? Let's make a WWE city where they all live, they all train, and then, it's that simple.
Who was more unnecessary in this film, The Miz or Triple H?
What are you talking about? The Miz was comic relief.
Yeah, Miz actually had there was some jokes.
And Triple H had no point in this movie.
I think Triple H
just literally,
to be
his biggest scene was standing outside in his trunks in a rainstorm to turn on the generators.
Yeah, actually, I thought that too. I thought Triple H was kind of a little bit unnecessary. Everyone had a kind of a purpose.
I did enjoy the scene with The Miz where he's jogging, listening to his theme music on the iPod.
Everyone
he's yelling out,
theme.
He's awesome. It felt like this could be a real nice adaptation of the
Miz.
But I think this movie is actually great to let you gauge who internally they consider to be stars and who internally,
or at least 2 years ago,
Brodus Sin Cara,
who they
Brodus
thought
Clay.
Would be stars,
right? Or who internally they consider to be absolute jokes. And here, even in a cartoon form, you have the Miz basically being the jobber of the jobbers.
Well, that's true. I didn't think of it like that.
Yeah,
they. Scooby and Shaggy, they pitched the idea of going to WWE City for WrestleMania to Fred, Daphne, and Velma at the Burger Binge, and these three were just absolutely not having this idea of going to WrestleMania before Velma decided it would be worth going so she could do a study on WWE as compared to ancient warrior customs as her reason for going. Fred could try out his new camera, and Daphne just reluctantly agreed to go along with the group as they set out on their huge road trip of 112 miles to WWE City.
There was a good joke in this scene. So they're basically on their road trip, and Shaggy and Scooby pack the car. Yeah, as a Scooby-Doo fan, this was my favorite joke of the movie. They pack the car full of chips and cookies and Scooby snacks, but like they tower it high in the back, and Velma and Daphne are like, "Hey, like that's a lot of junk food in the back there. We can't even see where you put our luggage." And Shaggy and Scooby look at each other and go, what luggage? And then they realize that they had forgot to pack. And Daphne goes, well, what are we going to wear? And Shaggy goes, well, I don't know, but we wear the same outfits anyways. So I enjoyed that as a Scooby-Doo fan.
Did they insinuate that, like, Scooby and Shaggy were in charge of packing their clothes?
That's a little strange, creepy
as you picture Shaggy putting,
he's
like,
kind of a dirty hippie. I don't know if I want him packing that shit.
Daphne's panties into a luggage.
Well, Shaggy and Velma are kind of always the couple, and Daphne and Fred.
Shaggy and who?
Shaggy and Velma, sorry, are always a couple? Well, like, it's always, like it's always, they're always paired, and Fred and Daphne are a couple.
In love?
There has been Scooby-Doo movies where, you know, things happen.
Oh, man.
So I'm not cut. There's new series. I haven't watched the new series, but this is like the old school style animation kind of thing where there's like 3D and there's like live action TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But Fred and Daphne are a thing. They're an item.
Like in real life.
Exactly. That's why Freddie Prinze and Sarah Michelle Gellar are cast.
Wow, man. My mind is being blown by all these connections.
Things are serious.
On their way to WWE City, there was a legit swerve on the road.
Describe the sign to WWE City.
How would you describe it?
Was it Triple H?
A giant stand-up of Triple H with a voice recording of Triple H welcoming
people. WWE City?
Yeah. And just saying the same thing over and over again. And so their car goes off the road, and that's when we're first introduced to John Cena, who comes and removes his hoodie. And this man, Putski Award nominee here in the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery, and lifts the van out of the ditch.
Wow.
And this is when Daphne begins to fall in love with John Cena, which I'm sure was not happy.
Well, Fred was
Fred happy.
Yeah, well, I liked this, actually, because then it was kind of a jab at the stereotypical female wrestling fan who goes, I didn't know wrestlers were so hot. I mean, strong is what she says. So it's pretty much, I mean, there are some female wrestling fans who like wrestling for the wrestling and the comedic value sometimes. But most just like to check out, you know, John Cena and Randy Orton. So I thought this was pretty well played. I enjoyed it.
This is also when Scooby runs into the forest after some animal, and we're introduced to Baird, this crazy Dog the Bounty Hunter inspired character. This guy is not any connection to Scooby-Doo. He's just a random character.
I don't know who this guy is, and this is my least favorite character.
This was like a playoff of like the Native Americans owning the land and then being taken away, and Baird was trying to preserve the land that the WWE has taken away from him. He was like the old territorial promoter, and the WWE went national, kicking him out of business, and he's basically insinuating that a mass murder is coming to WWE City, and this was the beginning of the big plot thickening of what the big plan would turn out to be to try and take down the WWE at WrestleMania that year.
That's
already more interesting than I would say half the storylines going into WrestleMania this year.
Could you imagine somebody like Vince just basically taking over a small town and like, get the hell out of here. I'm going to put my wrestling
This is company. WWE City.
It could happen.
Fuck Baird.
What was this guy's name? Baird?
Baird. Yeah. Not an easy name.
I thought it was Laird. That's why.
I don't know why they say it, Smith would have been.
Yeah, fine. In Scooby-Doo, they always throw these characters at you because instantly as a kid, You're gonna think, oh wait, I know who the bad guy is because this creepy old dude. They always do that. They try to swerve you.
We didn't get much of a payoff to Baird at the end of it.
Oh, that always happened.
Yeah, it's probably just meant to be
This man just continues to wander on with a 9-gauge.
That's true. He just kind of shot in the air a few times, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like just was opening fire
in front of a group of teenagers.
Guarantee you that wasn't licensed. Cena feels bad about this near-death experience, so he gives the Scoobsters some VIP tickets to a live event that night, papering WWE City. Clearly not a good house for the week of WrestleMania. Not a good sign. And then we go to the house show where Triple H is working in the main event, where it's Cena and Sin Cara against Big Show in Del Rio, which is our main event that we go to. Michael Cole just calling the action, and the highlight of this entire movie.
This is great.
Referee Jimmy Corderas.
It was awesome.
There's no way this was just some subtle coincidence. This was Corderas to a T in this movie.
Yeah,
he bald, could sue.
Bald guy with a
black goatee.
I mean, I don't know if they at all intended for Jimmy Corderas to be there, or if an animator simply looked at something.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That's my assumption. They just went to past matches and they found someone that they could replicate.
Yeah.
Obviously, the facial hair was maybe something to distinguish him. Yeah. This was clearly a replica of Jimmy Corderas.
Yeah, that's he should get some sort of payoff, like a free copy on Blu-ray or something.
At the very least, he should be getting it. Now he's been on the front cover, the DVD of the Attitude Era documentary.
Wow.
Now a main character in Scooby-Doo.
Main character.
WrestleMania Mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He was my number one suspect for the villain.
What was the funny part you were alluding to?
Big Show uses a picnic table as a weapon.
Well, of course.
He like lifts.
They're not working safe the week of WrestleMania.
He just wallops John Cena with a picnic table.
I love the part where they cut to Velma and Fred, and Velma is disputing the rules and the lack of calls here. And Fred explains, it's a show, Velma. It's like, it just felt so awkward to work this in there. Like, it's a show, Velma. It's sports entertainment.
On their drive into this, because they got back in their car after Cena helped them, and they were driving to this show, they passed through WWE City, and we were talking about how you could imagine, like, this is being a real city. Well, I noticed that there was a McMahon's Waffle House in the WWE City.
Yeah.
And then there was another restaurant called, like, what was it? Royal Rumble Ribs.
There's one called Tombstone Tacos.
Oh my God.
Like,
even
just
better.
A little, like kind of subtle.
And like,
I would love to. Royal Rumble Ribs.
I would not lie. I would definitely go to all these restaurants.
Maybe be like, I don't know, like the ribs. It's like it comes with like 30 ribs lined up together.
But that's a lot of. That could be like, that's maybe like $50. And it's like,
or maybe
special.
They go in. And it turns out it's a vegetarian joint, and it's all a rib.
Oh.
It's a joke. No ribs. No meat.
No, we all got that.
I'm exhausted today, everyone. I'm exhausted.
It's funny, though, when you talk about Velma, that little joke, because I thought she was almost playing sort of the smart mark.
Exactly what she was playing. 100%.
And it was the commentary, you know, like little digs like that.
I said Fred is John Pollock. John would be like, hey, guys, just remember, it's a show. It's not real.
But John wouldn't say that.
John would say that.
I feel I have a
similar sense of humor in those situations as Wei, who would just escalate it and continue to feed this curiosity and get them going. They pretty much set up what WrestleMania was going to be built around. Vince brings out a new WWE championship, which has been vacant since Kane's last title match. I believe it was some match with Kane and The Miz, and there was some dispute.
We never got the backstory to this.
The title is now vacant for whatever reason.
Sure,
and then after the show, they go to the training camp. This is where we see all the restaurants. This is all the same night since they won the video game contest, went to the Burger Binge, got on the 112.
Wait, this is all in the same night?
There has been no transfer from day to night.
Maybe there has been, and we just you don't. It's a car, like you.
I need a transfer of time to indicate that. That come on,
the road trip.
This is basic storytelling.
The road trip could have been.
Give me some scenics. Come on.
No, I don't think it would be the same night.
Inside of the WWE City, we got cameos from Sergeant Slaughter, Jerry Lawler, Jimmy Hart, and then Sin Cara arrives in his Lamborghini.
What was it? The Sin Cara? They had a name for it.
I can't remember the name.
Oh.
The Sin Cara Mobile.
The
Sin Cara Convertible. Because it had like a nice Cara little float. Yeah, the Cara Convertible.
Yes.
Sin Cara car.
And that's where we also meet Ruben, who's basically this old-time veteran who never made it,
yep.
and his son, Cookie, who is an aspiring pro wrestler, but his dad doesn't want him to get into the business.
I thought he could have had a better name.
Reuben Cookie. And Cookie?
Yeah. I think the writers were just having lunch.
Cookie?
And a Reuben.
Reuben sandwich.
Reuben had a career-ending knee injury. While Reuben, he wants to become a pro wrestler, but his dad's pushing him to continue on with computer classes. Computer classes. That's the ticket.
It's true. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
I like the cameos from Slaughter, yes. Lawler. And
wait, I think I had that mixed up. Was Reuben the kid or was Reuben the father? I think Reuben was the kid.
Reuben's the kid and Cookie's the father. The dad or the uncle. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, Reuben's the kid. Okay. But I was actually hoping for more cameos from various wrestlers.
Yeah, like they didn't have voices, but yeah, they could have fit in more. Like
just
more
in the background, just as a sort of a nod to a lot of, you know, especially like so, for me, like as an adult watching a lot of these cartoons, you know, you always hear about the cartoons that are made both for kids and for adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like on the surface, a lot of jokes for kids, but in behind it, yep, you know, in the yep. background, a lot of jokes for adults as well. And I was kind of hoping for more wrestling related jokes in here.
We skimmed over the Ghost Bear, who we were introduced early on. This was like right.
Oh yeah,
before
sure.
We skipped the opening.
We skipped the major villain.
Yeah, here. The Ghost Bear is kind of this mythical figure. That I think the idea was they didn't know if it existed or not, yes. attacks the Miz in the woods, and that's why the Miz is all laid up.
Yeah, and then, see, in Scooby-Doo, no matter what it is, there's been werewolves, there's been sea creatures, there's been all these crazy villains, but whatever it is, it's something ghost. Like, it always has ghost at the end of it just because, like, they don't know what it is. Even though clearly it's not – it's an actual creature because it's, like, lifting and throwing people. They always call it ghost. So, yeah, this thing is like a I kind of didn't get the villain. I didn't get the – it's a wrestling-related thing because, like, maybe bears wrestle. Yeah, but I felt like maybe the villain in a WWE Scooby-Doo movie should have been, like, a ghost wrestler.
Should have been a luchador.
Yeah, some
– A ghost wrestler.
A ghost luchador would have been perfect. Yeah. I thought the bear was a little
– Maybe it should have been, like, Randy Savage from – From the dead.
Oh, God.
Terrible. Yeah.
The Macho Bear.
That'd be great. That'd be good.
Scooby ends up having this hallucination where he starts fighting these food monsters in a dream where he scores 1 billion points. These feature giant hot dogs, soda cans, all characters that I could absolutely envision making its way to TNA over the next year. And all of a sudden, Scooby is on top of the bear beast. And this is just like a cut now to reality. Outside of the dream, the WWE superstars come to his rescue. And this features Brodus Clay, Triple H. And this is where the announcement comes that the Ghost Bear has come to challenge everybody. And this is the introduction that the Ghost Bear is in fact real outside of this hallucination by Scooby-Doo. Did I recap that accurately?
That was great. On point. It's a little too, you're like Fred. See, you're always like on top of everything. You're like
the
leader.
I'm trying to keep this. I'm assuming if people listening to this have not seen this movie.
Oh, okay.
So it's very difficult to describe all of the nuances of this particular movie.
You're very right. You're very right.
But then we go to the big dilemma as we meet Miss Richards, the WWE executive who brings in Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, everybody, and she has footage of the WWE City rooms that have been trashed. So indicating that this could be Randy Orton or it could be somebody at work here. And in walks Vince McMahon, which Scooby-Doo and Shaggy mark out for, including
Wayne's World.
Calling him all his different monikers, including the higher power
was my favorite one.
Amazing. That to me was the tip-off that these were not just people that were assigned to write a movie about the WWE.
Yeah.
These were wrestling fans.
Yes.
Because that's not something you just stumble upon out of nowhere, calling him the higher power.
I loved it.
A 15-year-old reference to Vince McMahon.
I liked it. They did a Wayne's World, We're Not Worthy thing. It was great.
I loved Vince McMahon as like acting like just a normal commissioner of a league in this movie. I thought Vince was great. Just his voice alone saying anything, I found pretty entertaining.
He has a great – Vince McMahon has a very powerful voice.
He has a great voice.
Yeah, he does.
Whether it is showing concern about WrestleMania being shut down,
yeah,
or chanting Scooby-Doo at the end of the movie.
Vince McMahon
was great throughout this. And this is when we get this whole explanation of who the Ghost Bear is as we go back 100 years ago, as Sin Cara retells this story in Masked Luchador, which John Cena translates. Are you following me? Sin Cara does a dance to tell this story. And it was a big fight between Sin Cara Grande and this bear who essentially lost this match, got pissed over having to do a job, went crazy, and then bites Grande, ending his career, and he would never wrestle again, with the bear disappearing 100 years ago. And now the bear's has come back in the incarnation of a ghost to ruin WrestleMania.
It's pretty... Sin Cara was very... like, he was a very major character in this, and he didn't have any lines. Like,
no.
He didn't say anything, but there was a lot of, like, every time it would show him the crazy Mexican guitar music.
He was the sort of the silent assassin of the group. The cool, silent guy of the group.
He came off really strong. He's over.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder why they didn't push him as much on TV when this whole thing came out, or just even in general, because you can tell by something like this that they clearly see a lot in the character, at the very least. And, you know, you rarely see the guy even on Raw.
When was the last time I saw him? I don't know.
Maybe it was a Scooby-Doo thing.
But
here, like, he was being paired with John Cena and tag teams. And I feel like that might be something that could actually work, even on TV, for a kid-friendly tag team between the two.
Why wasn't it Rey Mysterio in this movie? Just because they thought they would try to push Sin Cara through this? Or
That's like another interesting question about like who they chose to omit on these shows. And it's like, you know, you see the roster here they're given. You have John Cena, you have Sin Cara,
Triple H, Miz,
AJ, Miz,
Brodus Clay,
Santino. Brodus. And I imagine there are reasons for choosing these select few and not choosing people like Daniel Bryan, like Randy Orton, you know, like whoever else. I mean, Rey Mysterio, he's somebody who's kind of not really even on the roster all that much. And you have to wonder, you know, contractually what his status would have been anyway. There probably was more value in you know, pushing a guy like Sin Cara.
I would have liked if, say, this movie were to – they were making it now. I would have loved to see Hulk Hogan as a character in this movie.
Well, I mean, this whole thing reminded me of Rock and Wrestling. I don't know if you ever saw those.
I know. Yeah.
But those are a lot of fun. It's always weird, though, with those, because wrestling, the rosters change so often. Mm-hmm. Not only, you know, who's on staff and who's not, but babyface and heel roles change so often, too. It's hard to really pin down. I mean, these things take a while to make, right? So it's hard to really, like, guess who's going to be where in, like, 6 months.
Then we had the big reveal that the WWE Championship belt has been stolen right before WrestleMania.
Terrible.
And they have footage that it was Scooby-Doo who stole the title belt, as they show footage of him going through all of these
lasers
to get to the safe that holds the WWE Championship. And as they watch the footage here of Scooby stealing the title, John Cena has this disheveled look on his face and just says, Say it ain't true, Scooby-Doo. And Scooby is arrested. But Velma has video proof that they stole Scooby's dance moves that he did on the video game and then superimposed him here under a hypnotic spell to steal the title. But Ruben pulls up the video file, and the executive is there sending Scooby and Shaggy to jail. But Vince McMahon states, WWE City Law states that anyone accused of a crime can compete in the ring for their freedom, and they are booking on the fly as they put Scooby-Doo and Shaggy against Kane in the opening match of WrestleMania.
That's wrestling logic. You win matches to get out of legal issues.
I thought this was the biggest flaw in the movie.
Do you know how upset the locker room would be if these two guys got a WrestleMania payoff? Haven't worked any house shows, and here they are getting to open up WrestleMania. Not to mention the lack of a build here for WrestleMania. Opening match, they're presenting these two characters cold.
Well, look at this past WrestleMania. I would rather see this match than half the matches this year. I would rather see a guy in a Scooby-Doo costume.
Skinny man and dead meat?
Yeah, I would rather see them versus Kane. That would be great.
So then Cookie tries to help them train, as does AJ. as we got a training montage to her theme music.
I loved it.
Man, were you torn between AJ and Velma during this movie?
The problem is AJ didn't look like AJ.
It was AJ's voice, though.
Oh, yeah, it was, but it didn't look like her. I thought everyone
kind of... She didn't look that far off, I didn't
think. I think she was the most far off from
I thought Michael Cole looked like... He was jacked
Michael
up.
Cole looked
he looked like Alex Riley.
Michael Cole looked like they had somebody else in mind or just a generic
yeah, and quickly threw
and
someone's
just like,
face
oh,
on
Michael
it.
Michael Cole, come over here.
I liked it, but sorry, AJ. Velma is still number one in my heart.
They had little things like the SmackDown fist in the background.
Yeah, and the training. Yeah.
I wrote that down, too. Like, how random was that? That was like the old SmackDown set of over 10 years ago.
Now they use it in the training facilities.
Yeah, the training facility. So Ruben is helping out Scooby and Shaggy train for their WrestleMania match, and this obviously prompts... Sorry, I keep screwing up Cookie and Ruben. Ruben is... the son or the nephew,
yes.
And he's upset that his uncle won't train him. And he's already got this gimmick in mind called the Bone Bender, where he's bought an outfit made out of real bones. And he's telling Daphne, who doesn't think that this gimmick is going to get over.
Now. So
I think Daphne was worried about Cena bending her bones.
Oh, they text during this movie. Daphne and John Cena have exchanged
Nikki
phone numbers.
Bella better not have been watching this because he was not buying Daphne a house.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this was another attempt at a swerve, unless I'm like too far into this. They were saying that this guy Ruben is very good with computers, and we had just realized that whoever is behind this mystery, like the culprit, has hacked into the video games. Someone's good at computers. Also, the bear has a skeleton figure. The ghost bear has like a skeleton face and bones. This guy just told Daphne that he ordered off the internet real bones.
Well, they wanted you to think it was Ruben.
Yeah.
But it could have been La Parca as well.
That's true.
Somehow they go bear hunting. During this training and WrestleMania.
At nighttime. They just said, hey, guys, let's go in the middle of a forest.
And we got a scene right out of Indiana Jones where a rock slide is caused by Baird, who opens fire yet again in this cave. And probably a playoff of the last two WrestleManias, John Cena stops the rock.
Oh, wow.
And triumphs and saves them. And they're in this cave right out of the Goonies. And... this is the lair of the ghost bear, we learn.
Yes.
And it features, look at this. They stumble upon these books about hypnotism, and then right in front of them, schematics for an electromagnetic pulse and a calendar that reads, Rest in Peace, WWE, on WrestleMania Sunday.
But this is what happens in every Scooby-Doo
movie.
This
is like a Hardy Boys novel.
No, but this
is amazing how everything just falls out of the sky right into their hands.
This is what happens in Scooby-Doo. Like, this is 101 Scooby-Doo. That always happens. Like, if there's a guy who's in, like, an old fisherman gear and he's the villain, they end up at his house and then there's, like, boxes of fake seaweed or boxes of hooks. They're going to be like, oh, this is definitely – like, that's just how it is. Like, they always find it. So, yeah, you had to do this.
The ghost bear then chases them, where we also – did you notice the neon scorpions in
yes.
the lair?
Well, everything was neon in this like cave.
Could Sting be coming in as the ghost bear?
I just didn't like how
form.
I just didn't like how John Cena got knocked out here by the
bear. There was a torpedo that was fired in this cave where they all become engulfed with water in the cave. Somehow Fred's camera survives all of this.
And Daphne's phone.
John Cena is unconscious. They use him as a surfboard, and then he regains consciousness while free-falling and fights off the bear in midair.
John Cena can do anything.
John Cena, listen, this was the epitome of Superman.
He's
Cena.
The best. He's the greatest.
I love how they use him as a raft.
Yeah, like they just That's ride hilarious. It. Like they're just on top of him, like, oh. And his face is under, like, it's very strange.
Yep, comes to life in midair as they're free-falling here.
He's the best.
And then we get to WrestleMania, where they announce to the crowd that they've added a match with Kane against Skinny Man and Dead Meat, which are the names they have given Shaggy and Scooby.
Shaggy is Skinny Man and Dead Meat is Scooby?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just check.
And the crowd boos this matchup. They are not – these were the internet smarks at WrestleMania.
In WWE City.
We're just poo-pooing this late addition to WrestleMania and the lack of a build. They show people all across the world watching this event on pay-per-view and in the highest form of fiction.
Yes.
Four women Yeah, out of a sorority, look like getting it. Together to watch WrestleMania.
That was my favorite. That got my hopes up. That's the world I want to live in.
Actually, I will disagree because when I interviewed Shayna Baszler, she said that her, Ronda Rousey, Jessamyn Duke, they were all going to watch WrestleMania together on the WWE Network.
So at someone's house.
At their house that they all live in.
That was them on the couch.
Yeah, and Marina Shafir, the four horsewoman.
I would love to watch WrestleMania with a group of women like that.
You would just love to watch anything with a group of women, I feel.
No, but like...
Wrestling, Scooby-Doo, Bars and Tone.
That's like a perfect date right there. I get to see... No, like Scooby-Doo and wrestling.
This
like
is a great date movie.
It is, actually.
The WrestleMania mystery.
Especially if like you're going out with a girl or you're going to go on a date with a girl who has a kid. Or who is young, yes. You're going the latter route, but yeah.
So we go to WrestleMania. The match as well, just thrown in there. It's now a last man standing match.
This is a great match.
It felt like a TNA pay-per-view here. Velma discovers the electromagnetic pulse circulating in the WWE, and they brought out the belt, and Velma discovers that this is not the real belt because it's made out of iron, and she tests this with a magnet.
From Sin Cara's underwear.
This was above my head. I was not able to break down the science of this, but take Velma's word for it.
Oh, you should always. Velma is a smart cookie. She's always there. She always, like, pretty much Fred always sets a trap. Like, he's like, okay, he's the guy who makes the plans and everything like that. And then Velma will, like, somehow incorporate her smarts and find out a way to solve it even further. And then that trap always falls flat, and Scooby and Shaggy... like, fuck it up, and then by fucking it up, they solve it in their own way, and then things, just like in this movie.
So they discover the electromagnetic pulse on the title just as the timer is expiring, and as it goes out, all of the power in the arena goes out,
yep.
The pay-per-view dies. This had to have been an inside joke on a Ring of Honor iPay-per-view, where everyone lost connection to the pay-per-view. It's all the power goes out in the arena. Like that Beware of Dog pay-per-view that the WWF did once. And then the funniest part was as I'm writing down this Ring of Honor joke, we see the Ghost Bear enter the arena and goes through this door in the WWE arena that reads Honor on the door.
Oh, really?
I
didn't even notice that.
So I'm not crazy here on this assumption. So take us through the rest of this, Braden. This whole plan of the bear... they've taken out the power. What was the plan here? What was the goal here?
I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little like, what's the...
Did you make sense out of this way?
I think the plan was to take out the power and then come in as the great, Ghost Bear to cause chaos and to basically ruin WrestleMania.
However, the whole team had a backup generator set up, which... Triple H, yep. Jerry Lawler, and Sergeant Slaughter were positioned outside in the rain. Triple H in his trunks, catching pneumonia here as they set up the generators.
Whoa, never mind Triple H. You have Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler shouldn't be doing all this heavy lifting.
Yeah, poor Michael Cole's calling the WrestleMania on his own while Jerry Lawler's in charge of the generators outside. The bear ends up trapped in this little compartment and ends up fighting the Bone Bender, who comes to help everybody out. Both end up getting catapulted into the ring where the Ghost Bear lands on top of Kane and flattens him. Then a cage comes down and we've got a Hell in a Cell match as John Cena and Sin Cara enter the ring. Mind you, this is still the opening match at WrestleMania.
This is insane.
This is overbooked to the 10th degree. Sin Cara ends up just schooling the bear here. Cena gives it the five-knuckle shuffle, and then we get the baby face turned by Kane as he rises up, stares down the bear, and applies the Fritz Von Erich claw. They all hold down the bear, and Scooby hits the belly bomb to win the match, and then they pick up the Ghost Bear, unmask him, and it's Cookie.
Oh.
I didn't realize that this was a guy in a mask. I thought it'd just be like
some
ghost. We
had seen this bear fly through glass. And now it was just someone playing dress-up.
It's how it always... How did you not...
I just didn't know.
I'll give you some suspension of disbelief, but you were kind of twisting my arm here.
So this guy had to crawl on his hands and feet the whole time?
And this guy, like, eviscerated The Miz in the wild.
Well,
this guy's living in the woods?
Well, like, there's got to be the reason that they found all his clues is because he has like these mechanical things that maybe it's like a very elaborate costume. This is possible. Someone could have a bear.
It's very, very likely.
And fiery and skeletons and things like that. Uh-huh. They always, you know.
It's always somebody in a mask.
Yeah, always. Because then they go, all right, let's see who you really are. And then they pull off the mask and it's like, oh my God, old man Withers. And then he's like, oh, if it wasn't for you, I would have got away with the haunted amusement park.
Yeah,
and
then my plan to don a costume.
And then it's always, and I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids. And then blah, 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 dog. Just like they said here.
So Cookie is sent away, a disgraced veteran who tried to ruin WrestleMania. And Ruben assumes he'll be fired as well. But Vince instead gives him this inspirational speech to stay with the WWE. And then Vince McMahon awards the WWE title to Scooby and Shaggy.
No, Skinny Man and Dead Meat.
Skinny Man and Dead Meat.
Undercarriage.
Kane comes over, puts the hand up. And then shakes their hands as everyone, including Vince McMahon, chants Scooby-Doo. Priceless.
It's a terrible business decision.
Put the title on two non-workers.
In the beginning,
if you're upset
in the first
about
match.
Brock Lesnar potentially getting the title later this year, check out their limited schedule. This was their David Arquette moment.
Oh, but David Arquette came back to lose the belt, did he not?
I don't know if these two would do the honors and put over the next guy.
I think they would.
That would be the worthwhile thing to do.
Shaggy and Scooby are like good-hearted people. They'll do anything for the
Maybe
business.
That'll be the sequel.
I would like to see
the SummerSlam solution to the WrestleMania
that
mystery.
That was a little. You should pitch the Ghost Luchador. That could make money. Hulk Hogan will be in it.
I don't know how well this thing is selling, but I could totally see them doing another one of these if
I
it's
hope
successful.
So. I hope. Well, what's there going to be a Flintstones one?
They're going to do a Flintstones one. That's next, and that'll be interesting because CM Punk was involved in that one. And I don't see them going to that much effort to remove him from it if it's already been voiced and
bottom.
Put together. So there you go. That was Scooby-Doo, the WrestleMania mystery. I enjoyed this movie. I didn't love this movie. I will give this a solid 6.5 out of 10. I think if you're a little kid,
that's a little low.
You'd love 6.5 is a good score. It's
all right.
This thing is not something that was the greatest thing I've ever seen on a small screen. But
if you were a kid, you would.
I was entertained by it. Maybe a little long. Maybe a little. 80 minutes is a little bit of a big runtime for.
It's true. It was long. Yeah, it was a little long. What about you, Wei?
What are your conclusions?
Well, I mean, I feel like this is probably something you'd really enjoy if you were a Scooby-Doo fan or just a fan of like sort of this set of characters as a child. It was a little hard for me to get into just because I wasn't very familiar with all these guys. And
it's a cartoon.
And because I'm such a jaded adult smart mark.
Yes.
I'll give it like 4.5 out of 10.
Oh, I like the fact that they kind of approach this with there's going to be people that have never watched WWE and there's people that maybe have never watched Scooby-Doo. And I found for myself that I didn't have a hard time getting into this, not being a Scooby-Doo fan. I understood the story. It got a little too complicated.
There was some complications.
As soon as we're introducing schematics and hypnotism and just the explanation of this bear being a ghost and it's a real person, but let's give them some leeway here on a children's movie. But what did you think as the critic of the three of us?
Yeah, there's been a lot of Scooby-Doo shows and movies. Like since I'm a fan of the original, there's maybe like under 30 episodes in the original Scooby-Doo Where Are You series. And those you can go back and watch. Like those are pretty funny even to this day. Like the music in it, the animation in it is like pretty one of a kind. And then they came back with like there's so many – there's like Scrappy-Doo and then there's like just strange, very weird Scooby-Doo movies. And then in like the late – I think like 1999, they pushed one of these movies – which started this chain of like every year they release like a new Scooby-Doo movie like this. And those ones were like my favorite. So this one, but I was younger when I watched those. So maybe this one, again, I was going into like, this is going to be really silly. And it was pretty silly.
What does this get out of a 10 for you?
I'll give it for out of Scooby-Doo movies. I'll give it an 8.
Because
I haven't seen a Scooby-Doo one of these things in a long time.
Have they done other crossovers with other franchises?
Oh, of course. Like back in the day, they had the Batman and Robin one.
There's a Batman and Robin.
Oh, that
Scooby-Doo.
Was a big. Yeah.
Like
there's
the animated series.
It was like – I believe it was a movie or it was an episode of a Scooby-Doo show. Man, there's been other ones. I'm blanking. But I'm pretty sure like there's been other superhero crossovers with Scooby-Doo.
Oh,
There's like been like special voices and stuff like that pop on and stuff like that.
You also watched this movie with our friend Shane, who had one big complaint.
Oh, yeah. He said that when Skinny Man and Dead Meat came out to face Kane in their match, that they came out not to Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, the theme song, but to some generic Guitar 3 song. And he was very upset.
That music wasn't used at all on this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It wasn't because that's
couldn't
like –
could be a rights issue. Why wouldn't they have – that's just, such a synonymous song with Scooby-Doo.
That was his issue. And I do agree. They could have came out to Scooby-Doo, Where Are You. It would have been a perfect – perfect entrance music. No. That's my ringtone, actually.
Came out the generic WWE.
Yeah,
music.
Yeah. My ringtone is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And my text messages when they run. They didn't do it in this episode, but the sound effect was there when they were fighting AJ. I know. But it's like these bongos. Go, it's great.
All right. Well, let's go on over to the message board. We do have a couple people here who watched the movie and have left some feedback. So we'll start off with Paul Ellett from the UK. It's crossover opportunities like this which validate WWE going PG. This was just a lot of fun. Well done to the company for scoring a deal like this. As someone who hasn't watched Scooby-Doo in the last 15 years, I was surprised at how advanced the animation had become compared to the days of the characters running in front of the same corridor backdrop on a loop. This was probably the best outing for Miz in years as well. His over-the-top character really fits this genre. I await WWE City becoming a real thing in the next 20 years. Perhaps WWE Niagara Falls can be salvaged.
Ooh, there you go.
I don't know about that.
Martin from London. Providing you know what this film is going in, you'll enjoy watching it. Of course, Scooby-Doo is formulaic as hell, and I knew who the bear was fairly early on. But they had fun getting there, and if you can accept for an hour or so John Cena being a superhuman or AJ Lee being able to train a dog to wrestle, then there's no problems to be had. I liked how Miz signed off on being the joke of the movie, even being buried by the giant Triple H. Sign. Sin Cara gets his biggest ever push in the movie, Michael Cole does his best commentary work yet, and Triple H eats with jobbers in his gear. And somehow WrestleMania is over in one match. I wouldn't help but think of ROH or DGUSA when Mania went dark. All in all, a bit of harmless escapist entertainment for its duration, and it sounded like the talent had fun recording it. 6 Brodus Clay training sandwiches out of 10.
I bet the talent had the most fun.
If you grew up with this, 100%.
Yeah, I bet you, because these guys are a little, like what, like seen as like what, 35?
About that.
He probably grew up, like all these guys probably, I think Triple H was the most excited, because I remember when, for months, he's been like tweeting things like that. They went to the premiere with his kids. That's probably why Triple H was just in it, because he was like, I have kids and stuff like that.
Yeah. Was there a cartoon you watched, Way, that would be your big crossover that would really be?
What would you want WWE to mix with?
Cartoon-wise?
Pokemon?
Oh,
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Dragon Ball Z.
Goku versus John Cena?
Yeah,
who would win?
Sure.
Who would win that?
Probably the dude who could shoot lasers out of his arms.
Well, John Cena can do that.
Oh, can he? No, yeah, but I'd love to see that.
Alan Gaynor writes, I watched the film with my 5-year-old daughter, whose only prior exposure to wrestling was playing with my old LGN figures and watching Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, and we both really enjoyed it. I think the film could convert a lot of young viewers into WWE fans. Those fans would be surprised, however, to learn that Sin Cara isn't the company's second biggest star and Triple H isn't a sandwich-eating jobber. I know the company did some promotion for it, but not nearly as much as I expected. I thought it had a chance to be the most profitable film they were ever involved in, but it kind of just got lost in the shuffle at Mania time. In closing, I'd say this is the second best non-documentary wrestling film ever behind The Wrestler.
Wow.
That might seem like high praise, but there is not a lot of competition for that honor.
John from North Carolina. I'm 23. I'm a lifelong Scooby-Doo fan, and I've been a pro wrestling fan since I was 11. As you can imagine, when I first heard that the WWE and the Scooby-Doo franchise had done a crossover, my inner child was ecstatic. After viewing the film, I can't say that I was disappointed. I really enjoyed it. Some random observations. I wonder which version of The Miz I'd find more annoying, the cartoon version or the real version. Now that I think about it, I really didn't notice that much of a difference. I like the Scooby-Doo portion of the intro, which consisted of clips from the original series Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Yeah.
Nice way to pay homage. I could say this in a joking manner, but as an African-American, I feel the need to say that
It figures, out of the two black characters in the movie, one of them was the culprit. Racist bastards. The initial uninspired reaction that Fred, Daphne, and Velma had when Shaggy and Scooby first announced they'd won the WWE tickets is basically the same reaction to most of my friends whenever I mention pro wrestling. The line of the film for me goes to Richards for saying, "We can't cancel WrestleMania. That's like canceling Christmas. In conclusion, I'm happy to see that something as near and dear to me as the Scooby-Doo franchise lives on. I'm sure it was impossible for Hanna-Barbera to imagine that the original series, which only consisted of 26 30-minute episodes and debuted in 1969, would give rise to a pop culture phenomenon which has spawned TV spinoffs, made-for-TV movies, and even two major motion pictures."
And finally, Adam in Guelph writes, "I found this movie rather enjoyable. The film included all the Scooby-Doo trademarks, but since this is a wrestling show, I'll focus on the WWE. Sin Cara is the most ridiculous character, speaking luchador and driving a lowrider. I know Cena's trying to learn Mandarin, but we really should be making a bigger deal out of him learning that mythical masked Mexican language of luchador. Michael Cole's commentary was pretty hilarious, especially when the picnic table comes into play. I really wonder what the WWE was thinking or what criteria was used when they picked certain people to be in the movie." And that will wrap up this week's show, everyone. Our review of Scooby-Doo's WrestleMania Mystery. Varying degrees. I think most people enjoyed this movie.
Well, you can't complain about it. Like, you can't be, "Oh, that was so shitty." Like,
no, I wouldn't complain.
Right?
No, like, I wouldn't complain.
I have younger brothers. I would definitely be like, "Hey, check this out." I mean, they're probably a little, they probably don't want to watch cartoons anymore. But, I mean, any little kid who watches wrestling would just love this.
I think it's a fun little harmless thing.
It's great.
So, Braden, let our listeners know, what is where can they catch more of you on liveaudiowrestling.com? You're just a blossoming young star.
I'm blossoming?
Yes. Like,
you're blossom.
Like the TV Whoa. Show.
Yeah.
Fridays.
Joey,
on Fridays, I do What's Next with Jason Agnew.
I've sure heard of him.
He's all right. Let's see. I don't know. What else do I do?
You have a Twitter.
Oh,
you
yeah.
run our Instagram.
That's true.
You criminally do not
promote. Whoa.
Do not promote.
I try. The Instagram is
I listen to your podcast. I don't think I've ever heard you once plug the Instagram.
I think I have the past few weeks.
Have you?
Yeah, I have.
I don't know.
I always, because I post, yeah, I did. I always post right the Instagram.
Now. Yeah.
At Law Radio on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
I'll put up a picture of Wei Ting while we were recording this very show right now as his microphone is on a box.
We got a nice compliment on Monday
from
noted comedian Marty DeRosa for your playing of Elvis Costello on the Law Sunday night, coming out of the Kevin Sullivan interview.
Yes.
Said mad props to whoever played Elvis Costello song.
Well, you know,
paraphrasing.
We were playing an interview about a guy who wrote a book, so I had to think quick about a song to come out of
think
that
quick.
Interview.
You had 9 minutes of that interview.
I had 8 minutes.
It better have been
I had 8 minutes, and, you know, it just comes to me. It's my musical talent to pick music through. I get a lot of tweets, which is at Joker Radio, about people saying, because I pick the music sometimes.
You know who you need to study is Mark Andrada.
Yeah, I do. I all the time.
He is a magician.
He's also an alcoholic.
But you know what? Sometimes you got to feed the beast. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
I know. I am one too.
You got to that rare talent. It's doesn't fuel itself.
It's great.
Another lesson that you can learn as well. Wei, where can people listen to more of you? LiveAudioWrestling.com.
Can I listen to more of you?
Yeah, if you so wish. It would be on shows like this and Review and Impact and Review Raw.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I listen to all of those shows. Hey,
what's your Instagram?
My Instagram is Wei0937. All of my things are at Wei0937.
What is your filter of choice on Instagram? Wei's a big lo-fi fan.
Oh, lo-fi is good. What's that? Oh, man.
Hefe?
Hold on. Let me look
Valencia.
At these.
Hefe? Sounds like a character on Breaking Bad.
Oh, I opened up my phone and someone just wrote a comment on my Instagram saying that I am awful. So,
oh,
thank you.
What a shit.
Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
All right, let me see these filters. Let's see. Let me take a picture of you. All right, there's Amaro, Mayfair. What's your favorite?
What Lo-fi.
I think Hudson's my favorite.
Hudson.
It depends. These all sound like kind of yucky.
There's Willow. It's black and white.
Oh, wow.
These all sound like a kind of yuppie.
Maybe that's how they were inspired by the Willow entrance now that they've done on Impact, where he comes out with a black and white filter on.
I had a dog for
maybe it's a Willow filter.
For 13 years, and it was a white lab, and its name was Willow.
I have gotten so many tweets from people who have remarked, because Starbucks now has a new Willow blended coffee.
Oh, wow.
And so many people have tweeted me photos of this Willow blend of coffee. Hilarious.
Yeah, Hudson's the best.
All right. Well, we're going to get on out of here, everyone. Braden Harrington, thank you very much for joining us in studio, no less.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
What's Next airs every Friday with Jason Agner and Braden Harrington,
yes,
chatting many, many different topics, including NXT. Way, yes, you can hear every single day, every minute, every hour at liveaudiowrestling.com. This coming Sunday night, we're going to be reviewing Sacrifice, which, Braden, you will
watch.
Be watching?
Well, I have, like, me cut clips.
You have to come.
Yeah, you, Way, you force me.
Might you be coming on Sunday?
I don't think so.
Ugh.
You're not committed enough.
Nope.
Not committed.
I don't give a shit.
For Samuel Shaw and Mr. Anderson.
No.
Not at all.
There's not enough room on the TSN studio couch for all of us to nap, so maybe it's best if you don't.
Well, that's coming up on Sunday. Right afterwards, we will be live with Live Audio Wrestling, 11 Eastern, chatting whatever happens at Sacrifice. You can follow all of us at Joker Radio, at Way0937, at I Am John Pollock. And next week, Way, we are going to be reviewing Fall Brawl 1998.
Well, that's random.
Everyone is talking about the Evolution Shield match and whether it should have been a War Games match or not. It's not going to be, so we're going to go to the last time there was a War Games on pay-per-view.
Wow.
Which was September of 1998, featuring the Ultimate Warrior on that pay-per-view.
Holy
a rare
shit.
WCW appearance.
Did you just make that connection up right now?
This is what I do, Way. This
Damn.
Is what I do for a living.
Jinkies.
So that is coming up next week here on Review Away. Is there any better song to go out with than Scooby Snacks right now? Did you have a better one in mind?
Well, if you're ever going to play Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? There's a good cover of it by MXX or something from the movie, the live action movie.
Why didn't you? Well, did you not listen to the beginning of the show?
Oh yeah,
came
yeah.
In with that?
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
You got to listen more intently, Braden.
I had too many Scooby snacks earlier.
All right, next week, Fall Brawl 1998. We will chat with you later.
Outside, count a full pack, and everything's cool and everything's smooth.
Hey, that's smooth.
I walk up to the teller, I give her the letter. She gives me the move, the bucket up lips and a wink that I found cute. And I said, baby, 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 is there some karmic G love thing happening here, baby, or what? By that time, fast at me with the night, I said it's time to blow, you know. So out the door we go, back to the ride. Steve inside in the lot, and off we drive. I hurt my lower lumbar, you know we never get far. Riding around in a stolen police car, so we dropped it off and piled in the caddy. Steve was driving, cause I had to talk to my man.
I don't know anything about any fucking setup. You can torture me all you want.
Torture you, that's a good idea. I like that one.
Running around, robbing banks, all whacked up with Scooby Snacks.
Standing up straight, so we pull these jobs, make a little money. No one gets hurt if they don't act funny. On the way to the yacht, we almost got caught. Fast shooting mailbox, you know where the cops is, yeah. They had the Dunkin' Donuts adjacent from the phone with whose mailbox fast had just exploded. They gave chase from our man Steve's and Ace, and we lost those brothers with haste. We cast it off, and along we went off from Bermuda to an island resort we rented.
Donuts, need you cool. Are you cool?